Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Fire up the grill. Fill up your cup and get the recliner ready. It's time for Hour 2 of Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe.
And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield. And down the sideline he goes. This is storybook. An opening kickoff return for DeMar Hamlin. And this place is absolutely going wild.
Brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company. Explore the flavors of Oregon at Grillworks Supply Company in Beaverton or at grillworkspdx.com.
And here comes Hines again. Oh my goodness! Can he do it twice? Is this for real? Can you believe it? Even a little Dion strut to the end zone. 101 yards.
Football Sunday on 1080.
Do you believe it? No. It's pretty close, Jim. It's pretty close.
What
this
is not on here?
The Fan.
Bad boy. Don't win nowhere.
Woo! Hour number two, Football Sunday.
We can't be stopped now, because it's bad boy for life.
Dude. We got Scott Hansen on the TV, who I incorrectly called Chris Hansen less than 5 minutes ago.
He kind of looks like Chris Hansen.
Listen, why don't you take a seat?
Yeah, why don't you sit, take a seat?
Oh,
seat.
I will take a seat, and I hope you're taking a seat in
what
your...
Doing
what's going on?
I'm just being an idiot, you know, just trying to look for a friend.
Dumb, I guess. Oh, my God, though, but Red Zone is on.
I just watched that South Park episode.
It's a classic. What's classic, though, is week one of NFL Sunday. We've made it. I mean, they're showing the game, the schedules, the money lines, over on all of it right now. Again, we just saw Scott Hansen's beautiful mug on the screen. We made it, folks. We did
perfectly coiffed hair for Scott Hansen. Yeah, here we go, man.
It was a long 7 months, but we did it.
You know one thing we haven't talked enough about, and I know we'll get to it eventually, but all the new faces and new places.
Ah, yes. And we're going to see plenty of that.
And it's starting immediately, and so I'm super excited to see what some of these new these new teams, these new iterations of the teams look like.
Yes, yes, for sure. Let's look at the Pac-12 from yesterday, though. Do we got some college football music?
Yeah, I'm getting it right
now. Oh, I'm sure we do. I'm sure it's somewhere in there. But as I mentioned, there were some patsy wins yesterday, you know, some formalities out there. I believe one of those, believe it was, Oregon State beating UC Davis by a billion, 55-7 was one of those. Washington was another one where they played Tulsa, and it was 43-10 final score. Michael Penix, 409 yards, 3 touchdowns. And then the other game on the schedule that was patsy as well, USC, and actually this was a conference game, USC taking on Stanford. 56-10 victory for USC. No surprise there. But we do have a few other games that happened in the conference. This was in the early morning slate, and oh my God, disaster avoided. Utah barely escapes Baylor, 20-13. I think at one point in the third quarter, Utah's backup quarterbacks had a total of like 64 passing yards, couldn't run the ball. I was at the zoo. The Rhinos were putting on a show. I did not see what happened at the end of this game, but I did just see that Utah somehow pulls out a win against Baylor 20-13. That would have been ugly because Baylor lost to Texas State last week, for God's sakes.
The Fighting Armadillos from the movie Necessary Roughness, Texas State, you know, but...
No, I was going to say, they're the Bobcats. We went over this.
No.
I wish they were the Fighting Armadillos now.
No,
damn.
But Utah was able to eke one out and let you know, man, how good of a defense that really, you know, really is. Fourth quarter, they showed up when they were supposed to because it was looking bleak for a long time. So, man, great job to the Utes for going out there and getting a big win. It's hard to win in Texas. Hard to win in Texas, anywhere in Texas.
Clearly.
Big 12 matchup right there, right?
Yes, it is a future Big 12.
We're
going
to be seeing that one a lot more often, so I'm excited for that. And, you know, the level of backup quarterbacks in college football sucks. So, there you go.
Yeah, quite a drop-off there from Cam Rising.
Huge
drop-off. The other two. The biggest, actually, I want to skip that. I want to end with that one. We saw a huge rivalry game that the game didn't really perform at all as Kenny Pickett gets sacked by the San Francisco 49ers. Colorado gets a 36-14 victory over Nebraska. Boy, Nebraska, 23 points in their first two games. Colorado, a billion points in their first two games as Shedeur Sanders goes for 393 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had one on the ground as well. Colorado, they are looking like the hype is real. And they are going to be going into their in-state rivalry game next week against Colorado State and likely into Oregon with a 3-0 record. Colorado looking damn good, Rashad.
The hype is absolutely real. Coach Prime is the real deal as a coach. Say what you want to about him and his attitude and his flashiness, whatever the case is. He knows how to coach some football. So far, all of his boys that came from Jackson State are looking like they belong in the Pac-12 or the Big Ten or wherever
wherever the they end up.
Shedeur Sanders is going to be putting his name in that Heisman conversation here sooner than later. For
he
sure.
had a throw in that game also that as soon as he made it and it was complete, I was like, well, that's an NFL throw. Like, that is to a T. I think he was booting out left, crossbody, hitting an out route right in the hands. It's just like, that is beautiful football right
there. It's in his jeans, man.
Yes.
It's in his jeans.
Speaking of jeans, nobody's talking about Shiloh Sanders on the defensive end.
On the defense, absolutely.
I mean, see, so he's got two sons, Deion Prime does, playing for Colorado. And, yeah, they're both kicking butt. They got their two-way star as well. What was his name?
Travis Hunter.
Yeah, man, he had a pick in the first game, 100 yards in the first game, then I think 70-some yards receiving in this game.
It's bum.
Playing 100-plus snaps a game. He is – I think I saw a tweet that
so
said he was an alien, which is true. He is an alien representative of the human race.
He is not the same. He is a Martian, as I believe one Wayne Carter used to say.
Exactly what he says.
UCLA, they played San Diego State, the future conference opponent of Oregon State. And they won 35-10. UCLA just over a week ago had three quarterbacks, apparently. Well, they have one, Dante Moore. He is their guy. Sorry, Garbers. I know that you have a long storied history of being a starting quarterback for Cal. But yeah, Dante Moore, you want to talk about the real deal? He's looking like it too.
Man, he looks like a quarterback. He's got quarterback hair, black quarterback hair, 290 yards and three tuds in his first game as a quarterback. Like, I think you got your guy, UCLA.
Yeah, Dante Moore kicking it. Didn't they get like this kid Schley from either Kent State or like a senior quarterback also transferred from like the Big 12 as
Yeah, Chip was saying like before their game, he was like, yep, all three of them are going to play. Garbers will be out there. Dante is like, okay, no. I don't think you need to do that anymore. Dante Moore is really, really good.
And he did, it, with Marcus Mariota, for instance, at Oregon, his freshman year identified him so early on that it made Darren Thomas move on. It, like, he knew he wasn't going to go anywhere, but he literally skipped his last year of college eligibility just because Marcus Mariota was coming up. Well, surprised that Chip didn't do that here with Dante Moore.
Well, and after the game last week, he had a line, which, like, is the most glowing that Chip will ever have about a backup freshman quarterback, and the fact that he then started and played this game and played as well as he did. I'm like, okay, I think Chip even recognizes this dude is damn good. A few other games in the conference. These were the late night games that I unfortunately ended up passing out watching because I was so damn tired yesterday. But on my phone in my bed, I had Auburn, Cal, and then on the TV, I had Oklahoma State, Arizona State.
Why?
Because Oklahoma State was only up 17-15 against Arizona State going into the fourth quarter, and then Cal led Auburn going into the fourth quarter, 10-7. Like, what? What was happening? And then I woke up this morning. Well, actually, I woke up, I think, at like 1 a.m. with my phone in my bed, TV still on, and very confused. And I checked the scores. Oklahoma State pulls out the victory against Arizona State, 27-15. And Auburn beat Cal 14-10. Damn it! So the Pac-12's hopes of going completely undefeated in the first 2 weeks of the season, their hopes were literally dashed in the final quarter of those two games. Damn it, Arizona State and Cal.
Yeah, Arizona State, I'm not as surprised about. Cal, a little surprising, but considering they're playing,
I don't know how good Auburn is supposed to be this year, if they're supposed to be good at all, but the fact that they had them at 7 points through three, I am legitimately mad that Cal did not win that game against Auburn.
I'm only going to give Auburn the nod because they're an SEC team, because they have, in most cases, probably larger than life talent up front and stuff, so I would give them the nod, but I mean, so that's not as surprising. Arizona State losing Oklahoma State because it's Arizona State, again, not as surprising. So if there were a couple of outliers for the Pac-12, for me, it would have been always Arizona and Arizona State. Maybe not Cal as much.
Yeah, I would love to see Cal pull that win out. It really sucks that as we get to a point now, we're probably in week three going to have eight Pac-12 teams going into the top 25. In the last season, the Pac-12 in what a battle between the SEC and Pac-12 has always been waged, you know, between like elite players, now seems closer than ever. And it just sucks that we are seeing the last year of the Pac-12 as we're kind of coming to maybe more parity amongst the conferences with talent and coaches. Because like the Nick Saban era, is it over? In Alabama, Steve Sarkisian in Texas, like starting to light things up. Like there are questions now. It's not just like the five blue bloods anymore. Yeah, Georgia's great, but who else is it going to be this year? And the Pac-12 is closer than ever. Cal's the representative of that, almost beating Auburn last night, because I don't think they've ever gotten that close. It just sucks to see this happening in such an awesome year, but damn, it's gone. It's gone after this year.
It is not just that year for the Pac-12, but yeah, college football. I mean, you have Florida State and Texas pulling two of the early season upsets against LSU and Alabama.
Huge.
Of all teams. So, I mean, that is very surprising right there. So, yeah, I mean, it's like this fits the narrative of this year, kind of with the Pac-12 being good and adding all these teams. A lot of teams at the top we haven't been used to seeing are probably going to be there this year. So another one that almost was a victory for the Pac-12, and quite frankly wasn't looking like it was going to be a victory, but Mississippi State, they led Arizona 14-0 at halftime. 14-7 at halftime. They had a 14-0 lead. They were leading them 21-7 in the third quarter. Arizona fought back. They went to overtime, but Arizona could not pull out the victory against Mississippi State, who I don't know who their coach is now that Mike Leach is gone, unfortunately. But there was another close one where you had a Pac-12 school against an SEC school down to the wire, and unfortunately it went the SEC's way. And then the last game that I want to talk about is probably the biggest victory for the conference. Wazoo, for the second straight year, they win the series against Wisconsin. This year, much more offense than last year, but 31-22, and I'm going to say it again, man, Cam Ward, the least talked about quarterback in this conference as far as like being one of the better ones. Like, I really hope he shows out this year and is able to have some performance where he outshines maybe a Shador Sanders, a DJU, or a Cam Rising, like where he kind of shows like, hey, you know, I'm pretty good up here too. Remember all that hype last year? What did he come out of? Incarnate Word or something? Was something where like he transferred that. From? But yeah, big win for Washington State. The Cougs fans got to be feeling great heading into this year. God, this Pac-12 season conference schedule and slate is just going to be absolutely bonkers.
That was the biggest win in the conference for the week. Of course, you had Colorado pulling out a big win against Nebraska, who's, you know, they were 0-1 at that point.
And they're just, it's going to be rough.
But everybody else, you know, Stanford got beat up on by USC. Washington beat up on Tulsa. Baylor got, you know, lost to Utah. Like, a lot of teams they played aren't teams that are expected to really do anything. Washington State going against number 19 Wisconsin, though, huge, huge win for them. Shout out to the Cougs, man. They're 2-0 to start the year.
Seeing that Cougs game, it made me frustrated that both the Beavers and the Cougs are being undersold as college football programs, as powerhouse programs, because, yeah, they're not the Blue Bloods. They're not even in that second tier or 1A tier like the Oregon Ducks or the Texas of the world are. But what they are very good teams where great athletes want to be. They've got amazing facilities. They've got I don't care, you know. Yeah, they're in sleepy little towns in markets that don't usually care about football like they do in the SEC. But damn, they've got good programs, and they have to be included with all the other crappy teams that we saw playing yesterday. And as good as Oregon State and Washington State are, and the fact that they're not going to be Power 5 next year, the NCAA has to step in and fix this. This is ridiculous, and that I think was my takeaway after yesterday. I got mad. As not really a super huge fan of those teams, but just a fan of good football and a fan of college football in general.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a tough year to, like, man, just live in it, experience it. Don't worry, you know, like, don't worry about what's to come, because you just saw this year is
it's easy
really
for
what
to say. Like, you guys get to keep your teams and stuff. Like,
true. And also, this is what the Pac-12 fans, and I'm not, like, this year especially, I'm very much like Pac-12 heavy. I never used to be like that. It was just, hey, is my team taking care of business? Cool. I don't care what conference, division, whatever the hell they're in. I want my team to win. But this year, I can see why everybody is so pissed, because it's just like, we've been wanting this.
It's what we've been waiting for
the last 10, 15 years. This season, this example to show people, like, yeah, look, we can hold our own. We know how to ball out here on the West Coast in the Pac-12. And so for it to finally happen and we get it and it's the last year, that's what makes this so tough, is that it's like, we've been telling y'all for years, it's like, oh yeah, I guess you guys were right. Well, nice knowing you. And it's done. But let's relish in this last week of non-conference games. Hopefully Pac-12 can show out during that time. But in the meantime, we have NFL football to get to.
Here we go.
Also, just update, rookie quarterbacks, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, rough start.
Brock Purdy's already thrown a touchdown, by the way.
Hey!
7-0 Niners.
Not a rookie touchdown, to Brock Purdy. Not a rookie quarterback, rather. Yeah, let's get to some NFL football. It's happening right in front of our faces, but let's talk about the NFC and AFC West, because I think I still need some records from you guys. I need to give some records myself, so let's do that next. NFL, football, the Western Divisions, get to that next year. Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt,
danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Your Sunday home for college football recaps and the NFL. This is Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday. Gosh, it is just chaos out there right now. Like fumbles, picks.
Nerves.
It's a hot mess out there. Fumbled snaps.
It's nerves right now.
Oh, 100%.
Let's go, Trevor.
Those bells. Those bells got me 6 to noon real quick.
Oh.
Sports pants tight.
They are bursting at the seams. Okay, what's going on right here? AFC West, NFC West. I know you guys talked about it when I was gallivanting in my white boy weekend in Bend. Just beautiful place. Beautiful people there. Rashad is pointing at the TV saying pass to this guy. Football is here. So did you guys like have records? Did you say whether the NFC West, AFC West, what you guys think is going to be happening there?
I'm a goldfish. I think we did. I just can't remember.
I said something.
We did.
I did say something.
I think the one thing I do remember is I want to say both of us had either the 49ers in first place, and I think it was 49ers, Seahawks.
Rams, Cardinals.
Rams, Cardinals. That's how we... That's
Cardinals, the bottom dweller. Rams, pretty much the next bottom dweller. Yeah. So.
You know what? Gosh, I hate every year how we say the 49ers are going to be good. Because they are, and they usually end up being really, really good, regardless of, like, damn them. Jimmy G leaves, they whiff on drafting Trey Lance, and how do they escape out of it? By Mr. Irrelevant being their starting quarterback now?
Just a lot of luck, essentially.
Dude,
That's what happens when you have a great defense built around you. You can just be subpar at quarterback for a long time.
And a fight is breaking out between the Cardinals and Commanders after a late hit. Football's back, baby. The Cardinals are going to be one of, if not the worst teams this year. I mean, what, 3 wins? 4?
possibly. I mean, they're so bad.
I think I said four.
Caleb Williams. Yeah, I think you said three or four. Four. Yeah. Four. That sounds about right for
four across the board. I'm going 4-15. 4-15. Jeez. 4-13, rather.
We might get there someday.
You know what? Just give them two more losses just because they're going to be that bad. For some reason, they're going to have a 19-loss schedule. They're terrible.
And count the preseason losses, too.
Yeah, just tack on two more for the hell of it.
They're so bad, Caleb Williams is going to pull an Eli Manning, which I think is ridiculous.
Well,
I don't.
Probably.
I don't. I'm okay with guys saying, yeah, I don't want to play here.
It doesn't, man, but
this
that's
is stupid.
You can't control everything. You can't get all the money in the world and dictate.
You can't. You're absolutely right. I'm not saying that they don't have to go play there. I'm just saying I'm okay with somebody saying, yeah, I don't really want to be in New York.
And then you look at the Eli situation. It's like, oh, San Diego was a terribly run organization. No, Philip Rivers was successful for what, 12, 15 years?
He didn't win no damn Super Bowl, did he?
But that's
Eli won too.
That's not because of Eli.
Yeah, whoa.
He's good, but
Patriots fan here. It's because of Eli.
No, he had better talent around him. I mean, come on.
I mean,
David Tyree, if he didn't catch something in his helmet, then one of those wins wouldn't have been possible.
Antonio Gates for a long time?
Mario Manningham, another nice catch down the sideline.
A lot of extra talent around Eli, which it just doesn't make sense to me, man, because there's been four guys, I know we're kind of getting off topic, but four guys in the history of the NFL that have basically done this. And yes, they're all good, so if Caleb is doing this, then he better win two Super Bowls. Setting yourself up for it right now, buddy.
I think we can agree that winning a Super Bowl is hard, though. Philip Rivers, Dan Marino, anybody?
Damn good quarterbacks. They just, you know, couldn't do it.
So, yes, Cardinals would suck. I think that the Rams aren't going to suck as much as people think. I think there still is talent on that roster where they can go like 7-10. Some people have them at like 5-4 wins. Yeah. It's going to be an absolute mess. Give me 7-10, but there's definitely going to be some changes after this year. I mean, they're going to get at least two wins against the Cardinals, right?
I think they're going like maybe five tops. I'm a Rams fan. I do not think that they're going to be doing anything this year. They already lost Cooper Kupp first four games. He's on the IR. And now you got basically Aaron Donald and Matt Stafford trying to hold the rest of the team up with no running game. I saw someone in my fantasy draft take Cam Akers, and I'm like, ah, good luck. He ran for like 600 yards last year, buddy. You're screwed.
Dude, did I hear something about like how Cooper Kupp's injury like might be somewhat serious and like he could just be like a shell of himself after this? They're saying that he's out a minimum of four games.
You know what's crazy? Like when you say that, like the shelf life for great receivers and great corners and stuff like that is incredibly short. Yep. Like I can think of like only a few receivers through history that like, man, their entire career, they were great. They got towards the tail end of their career and they were fell off a little bit, but they were still good. Like now, you might get a receiver to be the best receiver. Remember that year that Odell Beckham Jr. was the best receiver in the league? And then the next year when it was Julio Jones, and then the next year, but it's never been anybody for a consistent clip. Same with corner. We're talking about who's the best corner in the league every single year because it changes that much. One injury can change everything for you. So hopefully that's not the case with Cooper Kupp.
Well, and they're saying that it's a nagging hamstring injury that he will be out. Like the fact that you don't even know how long he's going to be out for with a hamstring injury and you're chalking him up to at least four, that's, no bueno. So we did the, Rashad, what? You got him at five wins, six wins? What you got there?
I got five wins for the Rams. Potentially six, but not enough to move the needle if you just come off you're 2 years removed from winning a Super Bowl. So I'm gonna go ahead and say six wins for the Rams.
Okay, and let's do the last what I think will be the bottom two teams of the AFC West, the Raiders and Broncos. I mean, Raiders, Chandler Jones is doing his best to get out of there. Davante Adams doesn't want to be there. I think the only person that might want to be there is Jimmy G, quite frankly. I mean, what are we going, four, five wins for the Raiders?
For the Raiders?
Yeah. I want to do the bottom teams of both these Western divisions before we get to the cream of the crop.
I'll probably go about four wins for the Raiders. I think there's still a lot that needs to be worked out there. But yeah, I'll probably say four wins.
I'd have to go like six for each. I think both the Raiders and the Broncos. Yeah, if Russell Wilson don't work, then Sean Payton's probably going to move on in the middle of the season. I don't expect Russell Wilson to work.
I thought you meant like he quits halfway.
No. Like he's going to go to another quarterback. No, he just signed like a 5-year
deal. I know. That's why I was like, oh my God.
I think the Broncos are going to be much better this year. I'm going to say Broncos get at least at least seven, eight wins for the Broncos. Eight, nine wins.
I think,
number one, I know that Sean Payton is a better coach than, who was the coach last
Nathaniel Hackett
was a hack as a head coach. He couldn't hack it. That's pretty much what it was. And now you've got a real Super Bowl winning coach coming in to coach a Super Bowl winning talent who is very reminiscent of one Drew Brees, who had a lot of success with Sean Payton. You bring in that offense, you finally get Jerry Jeudy, you know what I'm saying, to come out and play for you this year. Hopefully he can, you know, produce a little more than did last year. I think the Broncos are going to be much better than they were this past year.
Say sure. 8-9?
I'm gonna go 9-8.
You know, that's what I want to go with as well. Yeah, I really do feel like it is a matter of a head coaching change, is that you are literally going from one of the worst head coaching hires of all time to one of the smartest offensive minds in the game today. So I find it hard to believe that they're going to be worse than last year. And I hope that Russ can make a solid meal. He doesn't need to cook. Just make a solid meal out there, please.
I've heard that.
A house staple.
I've heard something along the lines of Sean Payton kind of talking to Russell Wilson. Is like, this nice guy crap.
Oh,
he don't work.
Dude, I love the quote where he was like, dude, stop kissing babies. You're not running for office.
Yeah, we don't want that. That's, and you know what? Russell Wilson needs to put that aside and go out there and just play football and show everybody that he's not washed.
Yeah, it's the same thing that I have an issue with, like LeBron James doing, focusing on like this, and many other athletes do it that I don't like. They focus on this media stuff. They focus on these side businesses. It's like, dude,
I don't mind that. It's just like
your sport. I do. I can't stand it. You're paid to be an athlete. Go be a damn athlete. Worry about all your business stuff. Tom Brady now.
Shut up and dribble, eh?
Yeah. Well, this not guy. So much.
Starting
shut
to,
up and dribble,
sound like
but
it is. Here.
It is. You're there to do something. That's what we want you to do.
Quit like diversifying your funds and investing in things.
I think when it comes to stuff like that, like I understand if you aren't performing, right? Like Russell Wilson,
yeah,
I don't know what it's. Yeah, if you're not performing and you're still talking about your brand,
I get
then
that.
Yes.
Mr. Unlimited.
But when you're LeBron and you've been the best player in the sport for 20 years and you've got multiple championships and championships everywhere you go, you've done nothing but. Yeah, I don't have a problem with you starting a school or starting a business or starting any of that stuff. But if you're trash and you don't produce at all, bro, I don't want to hear anything about your shoe company or your rap album that you have coming out, bro.
Well, you saw that a lot with Baker, I think. I mean, how many commercials did you see Baker Mayfield on? And it's like, dude,
I'm not even talking about commercials. Go get your money. Go do the endorsements. That's what you're supposed to do.
Side businesses, side ventures that have nothing to do with the sport.
I'm talking about stuff that takes your time away from studying your damn film.
Yeah, like I said, if it were anybody else, if we're talking Lemon Pepper Lou, or if we're talking about Nick Young, yes, bro, I need you in the gym as much as possible, trying to get better. But if Giannis, who we know works hard, we know is committed to the craft, or Steph,
and he wants to open Giannis's Ford dealership in Milwaukee, then go for it, bud.
Then go for it. But, you know, if we haven't been there yet, then, yeah, I don't want you pushing your car dealership on you. Sorry, bro.
Broncos, I got 9-8. Raiders, I got going 5-12 somehow. It's hard to see a win anywhere, but I guess they got to win some games. They'll play some patsies. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. Football's still on the TV. Isn't that great? And then we'll do the top of these divisions, Chiefs, Chargers, Seahawks, 49ers. Do that next. But first, Jordan Schultz, SportsCenter update.
The place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe. Brought to you by Grillwork Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Just a question that I want you to really think about and ask yourselves. We don't got to spend time on it. How many quarterbacks in college football would you rather have start for your NFL team than what the Cardinals are throwing out there or the Commanders in Josh Dobbs and Sam Howell?
Oh, man. We know at least the four.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Half the Pac-12. No, I would take.
I'm probably
all
forgetting
of the
some quarterbacks, some other quarterbacks in the NFL that are, you know, starting games, too, where, I mean, Buccaneers.
Guys, I
do. Do you want Baker Mayfield or would you rather have Caleb Williams?
I would take.
Hell, even Bo Michael Nicks. Penix
I'll
Jr.
Take Bo Nicks.
Jaden DeLora would be a better option for me than Josh Dobbs for the Cardinals. Or Sam Howell is just like another Jason Campbell situation in Washington. Oh, we're plucking a guy and he's the quarterback all of a sudden this year. This is 10 months after Ron Rivera said his biggest problem in Washington. Quarterback.
Bluntly.
Oh, wait. Sorry. No, I'm not insulting Carson Wentz, but he's off the roster 3 months later.
Yeah, saw that one coming. All right. Top teams in the AFC West and NFC West. Let's go AFC West. I believe that we can all agree that the two best teams in the division are the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chargers, huge year for them, especially after their disappointing playoff exit against the Jaguars last year. Their biggest addition is offense coordinator Kellen Moore coming over from my Dallas Cowboys. And as much as he would piss me off sometimes, he made me happier with the offensive play calling and performance more times often than not. And I think that's going to translate well for the Chargers. How much improved they're going to be, maybe a game or two, but the offense needs to push the ball downfield. Austin Eckler's great, but when he's getting 100 receptions a year, it's because you're dink and dunk, keeping the offense in 5 yards in front. Like, unleash Herbert this year. Could be a great MVP pick for this year, Justin Herbert. I'm excited about Kellen Moore in that offense. I got him at 11-6. But what say you, Rashad and Jordan?
I think this is a big year for Justin Herbert. You know, you've been the starting quarterback now. This is year three, is it?
Four. First full season as, yes, I think this might be four.
Yeah, so, you know, you've had some flashes of greatness. Unfortunately, you haven't been able to put it together and even get to the playoffs, you know, at this point. I think you're going to need to come out and the offense is going to have to show more than that dink and dunk offense that they've been doing forever. Again, if your running back is getting 100 receptions a year, that means you're not throwing the ball incredibly far downfield. And so they got to figure out a way to do it. They went out and drafted Quentin Johnston from TCU as hopefully somebody that can, you know, join that receiver core.
And he's like fourth on their depth chart or something. Yeah, they got one guy that I'm forgetting right now, but besides Allen and Williams.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have to, you know, really rely on Keenan Allen, who's one of the more reliable and underrated receivers in the league. We don't talk a lot about Keenan
Allen.
As long
as he doesn't get touched and then fall apart, then yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he can stay healthy, I think that's the main thing. With Mike Williams and Joshua Palmer, you pair those three, then you've got a pretty
Joshua Palmer, that's who it is.
Yeah, you got a pretty good offense, you know, especially with Austin Eckler. So you've got an opportunity to make something happen. It's just, can you hang on to it? Can you stop losing those games by 3 points and kind of, you know, maintain some type of dominance throughout a game? So if they can do that, I think 11 wins is right in pocket for what the Chargers can do.
I see some very, very similar playing styles from the Chargers back to the Greatest Show on Turf Rams back in 2000 with Marshall Faulk, one of the best dual threat running backs in history, if not the best. And that's obviously what Austin Eckler offers out of their backfield, right? He runs, but he can also catch a pass. And 100 receptions last year, like you mentioned, he's one of the top targets for Herbert, along with their wide receiving group, who I agree got a lot more talented this year with a couple of additions. I've always loved Gerald Everett at tight end. Thank God they have an offensive coordinator that'll take the reins a little bit and kind of just let Justin Herbert work as opposed to making them run so much. So I think that 11 wins is probably a good spot to sit. This is a hard division. I don't know, man. And after, I know we're a week after, but like I just said, the Chiefs were only going to have like two losses. So now I'm kind of thinking like maybe the Chargers might be on top of this division if the Chiefs are opening up the season.
Chiefs are about to go off.
Losing to Detroit. I don't know, man. They always have that comeback in the fourth quarter, but not this Thursday. No, not this time.
So, 11? 12?
11. Okay. I'm going to go 11. I think that's a good number.
Also, just interesting fact about the Chargers. They took Quentin Johnson with that first round pick. They also took TCU wide receiver Darius Davis.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the seventh round, they took TCU quarterback Max Duggan as well.
Is he still on the roster?
I don't know.
Must be a practice squad kid.
Yeah, probably. Let's hope so. I don't know. Maybe Justin's got caught. Okay, I won't go there. Chiefs, 13, 14 wins. What are we doing with them?
Well, lost the big one on Thursday, you know, to the Detroit Lions team, where I think it's going to go super far.
Dude, man, Campbell, let's go.
Yeah.
Fake punts in the first quarter.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's
in your own territory.
It's ballsy football right there. I don't know. I still think the Chiefs are great now without Travis Kelce. That changes things. Before, I said the Chiefs are going to win about 13 games. Losing Kelce for however long he might be out for is huge. And you saw how big not having Travis Kelce was in that game against the Lions. He's really the security blanket, and he always finds a way to make himself available and open. Without that, for Patrick Mahomes around, without a really stealth, super strong receiving core, I don't know how well they're going to do. So I'm going to say, I think they're going to come in second this year in this division. I'm going to go ahead and say 10 wins. Yeah, I'm saying if Travis Kelce is out for an extended
period
of time.
Rashad's smoking that good this morning.
If he's out for an extended period of time, I think Mahomes is good enough to get you 10 games. Kelce is good enough to get you at least 3 or 4.
This just isn't fair after this week. I had 15 yeah. wins. I'm not gonna change my pick. I'm still going to go. I'm pretty sure I had them at 14 or 15 wins. I'm going to stick with that. I know that they've had the Kelce injury since. And without Kelce, the numbers are pretty glaring. Pat Mahomes is not nearly as successful in the last 5-6 years without him. But I can't change my pick. I got to go 14. Let's just call it 15 wins and one loss already down. So I'm probably going to be wrong on that one.
I got them at 12 and 5. Sorry, what'd you say? 11 and 6? 12 and 5? What'd you got there, Jordan?
For the
Chiefs.
Chiefs, I can't change it. 15 wins. I had them smacking
Hell
everybody.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna be wrong, but I'm gonna eat crow and I'm gonna go off of my original pick.
I'm gonna go 12-5 because I mean obviously the Chiefs aren't gonna be better without Kelce on the field. I just think it was glaring how bad they were without him last week. I mean, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore did absolutely nothing to help the team. I mean, their running game is gonna be okay, but if you can't do that and your guys are just dropping balls out there, that Patrick Mahomes is giving you perfect passes and they're that was, like I said, glaring how much of a difference it was of no Kelce and Kelce as far as talent goes. So I'm going 12-5, which is good enough to win the division, but I mean, a fully healthy Chiefs team, you could see when going 13-4 or 14-3. So yeah, tough year in Chiefs terms, but they're going to still go 12-5 and win the division. Now, 49ers Seahawks. Are the Seahawks going to regress after last year? Was last year a flash in the pan with Geno and all them? I feel like they can have a somewhat similar year. I have them going 9-8 because I think there is somewhat of a head coach effect. Like, Pete Carroll knows what he's doing. I mean, they really didn't seem to skip a beat last year. Them being a playoff team was super surprising. Whether that will happen again, we'd have to look at how our standings shake out. But I got Seahawks going 9-8 this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got Seahawks winning at least... I got Seahawks winning at least 11 games this year.
Woo!
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a flash in the pan. I think Geno is really that good.
Add a good receiver out of Ohio State, Smith Njigba.
To add, you know, with your pretty already solid receiving core that has DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So I think the Seahawks, you know, pair it with a run game that looks like it's kind of come together. I think the Seahawks are in great position with also in a division that has some down teams. Cause we're not sure what the Rams are going to look like. We're pretty sure what Arizona is going to look like. But really the biggest question mark there is the 49ers offense going to be able to be as great as they, you know, as the defense so far. Brandon Ayuk is killing there. So I'm going to go ahead and say Seahawks in the season 11-6.
I'll go 9, maybe 10 wins. I think I said 9-8, and I'll stick to that. Devin Witherspoon probably not going to play. So their top overall pick, 5th overall in the draft, not actually going to grab any snaps today, which sucks. I do like the acquisition of Smith and Jigba to the wide receiving core. It's already stacked with Lockett and Metcalf. You got Walker as well. The offense has some of the best names. Geno's a good quarterback, not a great one. 9 wins, 8 losses.
And for the 49ers, it's just, like I said, I hope this is the year where they finally show that they're human. It's just every year they're able to get through their inconsistencies, their problems, and end up in the playoffs or winning the division. As much as I would like to think that Brock Purdy is not going to be able to pull it through for this team, he did it time and time again last year. 49ers, I got him at 12-5, unfortunately, and then probably end up beating the Cowboys again in the playoffs, and so is life.
Man, 49ers, I think they're the best team in the division, offensively and defensively. Brock Purdy already has two touchdowns so far this game, both of which are to Brandon Ayuk, who looks like he's in line for a great season. You talk so much about Deebo Samuel and what he's able to do for that 49ers team. Brandon Ayuk is really one of the unsung heroes of that squad. You pair him with Christian McCaffrey, and you pair him with George Kittle, who's one of the better tight ends in the league. And then, a defense with one of the Bosa brothers who just got paid. Yo, I think this 49ers team is arguably the best team in football right now. I'm going to say 13-4.
And if you haven't seen the video of him and John Lynch dapping it up after he signs the contract, go watch it, because their high five is one of the loudest. It's like me off the driver. Just pop. Just echoes in the room. Very impressive. A lot of testosterone in that high five.
Oh, yeah, man.
I've got a project over the next couple weeks, and it's to figure out how the hell Brock Purdy dropped all the way to Mr. Irrelevant. And I know that this isn't a perfect science. You know, if I were able to predict what players were going to be in the NFL, I'd be a GM myself. But, dude, the last overall pick in the draft, and he's now already thrown two touchdowns, leading the offense like he's been in the league 5 years. What the hell did we all miss?
Go Cyclones, baby.
What did we all miss?
Yeah, that it really is. And that's why I'm just like, dude, I can't, like, everyone has him projected to be this good again. So I'm like, all right, well, yeah. 12-5, I guess.
No, I'd say at least 13 wins.
Yeah. And Rashad, did you say 13 as well?
I said 13 as well.
Okay, there it is. I'll put this all together and figure out who's making the playoffs according to our standings. And then maybe as we get to like next week, we can try and give our Super Bowl winners and give some official final placements here. So let's wrap up Football Sunday, though. We're up against it. Do that next here, Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe, brought to you by Grillwork Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday, got to turn it around and wrap up here real quick. Yeah, crazy that we get two of the most important musical acts leaving us within the same week.
I know.
Jimmy Buffett and the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Steve Hartwell, this song, Can't Get Enough of You, Baby,
the fact that you know his record. Name is Steve Hartwell.
Well, he was. Let's
granted, he's been in the news, you know, all week.
To be fair, Smash Mouth is from that time period of, like, man, late 90s, stuff like that. Yeah. Like, bro, they had cuts. This song, Walking on the Sun. Obviously, All-Star, which is, like, for every All-Star game for, like, 3 years in a row, All-Star was one of those songs that was just played all the time. So
it was those three songs plus the two covers.
Can't Get Enough of You, Baby. Like, yeah. You said, there's some songs that just live in 90s movies infamy.
Yeah. Do you think that anybody made a playlist of Jimmy Buffett and Smash Mouth music this week on Spotify?
There's definitely some Jimmy Buffett
together.
Well, those but two on the same playlist. I would love to meet that guy. Just like, dude, two of my favorite artists, Jimmy Buffett, Smash Mouth.
Just back and forth.
Like, what? Like, I, you know, Jimmy Buffett, you're cool with that. I understand Parrot Heads, but okay.
Smash Mouth was okay.
Hey, I remember
they had a sound.
They were in the movie Rat Race at the end of the movie.
Yes, they were.
They all come together at the end of the quote unquote race, and it's like a fundraiser that Smash Mouth is like headlining. So there you go. Smash Mouth ran the early 2000s, okay?
They did. They really are. They were in Shrek, man.
They were like Jay Mariotti on ESPN, okay?
Right? J.A. Adonde, you know?
Woody Page. You guys names. Are going back,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hopefully Jay Mariotti is doing much better than he was 15 years ago.
Probably.
Seriously.
I hope everybody out there has a better Sunday than what the Steelers are going through right now, because that's rough. And just enjoy it. This is one of the best times of the year.
I'm with it, man. I'm going to go home, watch some football before I have a beautiful young lady's college send-off to go to.
Yes, that time of year as well. All right. Yeah. Jordan, thank you as always.
Thanks, gents.
Rashad.
Love y'all.
Thank you as well. Indeed. And everybody that hung out with us on this Football Sunday, the first one of the NFL season. Thank you. and we will catch you all next Sunday. Thanks.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time for us to.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe. Brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Just a question that I want you to really think about and ask yourselves. We don't got to spend time on it. How many quarterbacks in college football would you rather have start for your NFL team than what the Cardinals are throwing out there? Or the Commanders in Josh Dobbs and Sam Howell?
Oh, man. We know at least 4.
Yeah, there's...
Oh, yeah. Half the Pac-12. No, I would take...
I'm probably forgetting some other quarterbacks in the NFL that are, you know, starting games, too. Where, I mean, Buccaneers.
Guys,
Do you want Baker Mayfield, or would you rather have Caleb Williams?
I would take...
Hell, even Michael Penix Jr.
I'll take Bo Nix.
Jaden DeLora would be a better option for me than Josh Dobbs for the Cardinals. Or Sam Howell is just like another Jason Campbell situation in Washington. Oh, we're plucking a guy, and he's the quarterback all of a sudden this year. This is 10 months after Ron Rivera said his biggest problem in Washington. Quarterback.
Bluntly.
Oh, wait, sorry. No, I'm not insulting Carson Wentz, but he's off the roster 3 months later.
Yeah, saw that one coming. All right, top teams in the AFC West and NFC West. Let's go AFC West. I believe that we can all agree that the 2 best teams in the division are the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chargers, huge year for them, especially after their disappointing playoff exit against the Jaguars last year. Their biggest addition is offense coordinator Kellen Moore coming over from my Dallas Cowboys. And as much as he would piss me off sometimes, he made me happier with the offensive play calling and performance more times often than not. And I think that's going to translate well for the Chargers. How much improved they're going to be maybe a game or two, but the offense needs to push the ball downfield. Austin Eckler's great, but when he's getting 100 receptions a year, it's because you're dink and dunk, keeping the offense in 5 yards in front. Like, unleash Herbert this year. Could be a great MVP pick for this year, Justin Herbert. I'm excited about Kellen Moore in that offense. I got him at 11-6. But what say you, Rashad and Jordan?
I think this is a big year for Justin Herbert. You know, you've been the starting quarterback now. This is year three, is it?
Four. First full season as, yes, I think this might be four.
Yeah, so, you know, you've had some flashes of greatness. Unfortunately, you haven't been able to put it together and even get to the playoffs, you know, at this point. I think you're going to need to come out and the offense is going to have to show more than that dink and dunk offense that they've been doing forever. Again, if your running back is getting 100 receptions a year, that means you're not throwing the ball incredibly far downfield. And so they got to figure out a way to do it. They went out and drafted Quentin Johnston from TCU as hopefully somebody that can, you know, join that receiver core.
And he's like fourth on their depth chart or something. Yeah, they got one guy that I'm forgetting right now, but besides Allen and Williams.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have to, you know, really rely on Keenan Allen, who's one of the more reliable and underrated receivers in the league. We don't talk a lot about Keenan
Allen. As long
as
he doesn't get touched and then fall apart, then yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he can stay healthy, I think that's the main thing. With Mike Williams and Joshua Palmer, you pair those three, then you've got a pretty
good... Joshua Palmer, that's who it is.
Yeah, you got a pretty good offense, you know, especially with Austin Eckler. So you've got an opportunity to make something happen. It's just, can you hang on to it? Can you stop losing those games by 3 points and kind of, you know, maintain some type of dominance throughout a game? So if they can do that, I think 11 wins is right in pocket for what the Chargers can do.
I see some very, very similar playing styles from the Chargers back to the greatest show on turf, Rams, back in 2000 with Marshall Faulk, one of the best dual threat running backs in history, if not the best. And that's obviously what Austin Eckler offers out of their backfield, right? He runs, but can also catch a pass. And 100 receptions last year, like you mentioned, he's one of the top targets for Herbert, along with their wide receiving group, who I agree got a lot more talented this year with a couple of additions. I've always loved Gerald Everett at tight end. Thank God they have an offensive coordinator that'll take the reins a little bit and kind of just let Justin Herbert work as opposed to making them run so much. So I think that 11 wins is probably a good spot to sit. This is a hard division. I don't know, man. And after, I know we're a week after, but like I just said, the Chiefs were only going to have like two losses. So now I'm kind of thinking like maybe the Chargers might be on top of this division if the Chiefs are opening up the season.
Chiefs are about to go off.
Losing to Detroit. I don't know, man. They always have that comeback in the fourth quarter, but not this Thursday. No, not this time.
So, 11? 12?
11. Okay. I'm going to go 11. I think that's a good number.
Also, just interesting fact about the Chargers. They took Quentin Johnson with that first round pick. They also took TCU wide receiver Darius Davis.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the seventh round, they took TCU quarterback Max Duggan as well.
Is he still on the roster?
I don't know.
Must be a practice squad kid.
Yeah, probably. Let's hope so. I don't know. Maybe Justin's got caught. Okay, I won't go there. Chiefs, 13, 14 wins. What are we doing with them?
Well, lost the big one on Thursday, you know, to the Detroit Lions team, where I think it's going to go super far.
Dude, man, Campbell, year. Let's go.
Yeah.
Fake punts in the first quarter.
Yeah, I love it, man. It's
in your own territory.
It's ballsy football right there. I don't know. I still think the Chiefs are great. Now, without Travis Kelce, that changes things. Before, I said the Chiefs are going to win about 13 games. Losing Kelce for however long he might be out for is huge. And you saw how big not having Travis Kelce was in that game against the Lions. He's really the security blanket, and he always finds a way to make himself available and open. Without that, for Patrick Mahomes around, without a really stealth, super strong receiving core, I don't know how well they're going to do. So I'm going to say, I think they're going to come in second this year in this division. I'm going to go ahead and say 10 wins. Yeah, I'm saying if Travis Kelce is out for an extended
period of time. Rashad's smoking that good this morning.
If he's out for an extended period of time, I think Mahomes is good enough to get you 10 games. Kelce is good enough to get you at least 3 or 4.
This just isn't fair after this week. I had 15 yeah. wins. I'm not gonna change my pick. I'm still going to go. I'm pretty sure I had them at 14 or 15 wins. I'm going to stick with that. I know that they've had the Kelce injury since. And without Kelce, the numbers are pretty glaring. Pat Mahomes is not nearly as successful in the last 5-6 years without him. So
But I can't change my pick. I got to go 14. Let's just call it 15 wins and one loss already down. So I'm probably going to be wrong on that one.
I got them at 12 and 5. Sorry, what'd you say? 11 and 6? 12 and 5? What'd you got there, Jordan?
For the
Chiefs?
Chiefs, I can't change it. 15 wins. I had them smacking
Hell
everybody.
Yeah.
And now I'm gonna be wrong, but I'm not gonna eat crow, and I'm gonna go off of my original pick.
I'm gonna go 12 and 5 because I mean, obviously the Chiefs aren't gonna be better without Kelce on the field. I just think it was glaring how bad they were without him last week. I mean, Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore did absolutely nothing to help the team. I mean, their running game is gonna be okay, but if you can't do that and your guys are just dropping balls out there, that Patrick Mahomes is giving you perfect passes and they're like, that was, like I said, glaring how much of a difference it was of no Kelce and Kelce as far as talent goes. So I'm going 12-5, which is good enough to win the division, but I mean, a fully healthy Chiefs team, you could see when going 13-4 or 14-3. So yeah, tough year in Chiefs terms, but they're going to still go 12-5 and win the division. Now, 49ers Seahawks. Are the Seahawks going to regress after last year? Was last year a flash in the pan with Geno and all them? I feel like they can have a somewhat similar year. I have them going 9-8 because I think there is somewhat of a head coach effect. Like, Pete Carroll knows what he's doing. I mean, they really didn't seem to skip a beat last year. Them being a playoff team was super surprising. Whether that will happen again, we'd have to look at how our standings shake out. But I got Seahawks going 9-8 this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I've got Seahawks winning at least. I got Seahawks winning at least 11 games this year.
Woo!
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was a flash in the pan. I think Geno is really that good.
Add a good receiver out of Ohio State, Smith and Ajigba.
To add, you know, with your pretty already solid receiving core that has DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So I think the Seahawks, you know, pair it with a run game that looks like it's kind of come together. I think the Seahawks are in great position with the also in a division that has some down teams because we're not sure what the Rams are going to look like. We're pretty sure what Arizona is going to look like. But really the biggest question mark there is the 49ers offense going to be able to be as great as they, you know, as the defense so far. Brandon Ayuk is killing there. So I'm going to go ahead and say Seahawks in the season 11-6.
I'll go 9, maybe 10 wins. I think I said 9-8, and I'll stick to that. Devin Witherspoon probably not going to play, so their top overall pick, 5th overall in the draft, not actually going to grab any snaps today, which sucks. I do like the acquisition of Smith and Jigba to the wide receiving core. It's already stacked with Lockett and Metcalf. You got Walker as well. The offense has some of the best names. Geno's a good quarterback and not a great one. 9 wins, 8 losses.
And for the 49ers, it's just, like I said, I hope this is the year where they finally show that they're human. It's just every year they're able to get through their inconsistencies, their problems, and end up in the playoffs or winning the division. As much as I would like to think that Brock Purdy is not going to be able to pull it through for this team, he did it time and time again last year. 49ers, I got him at 12-5, unfortunately, and then probably end up beating the Cowboys again in the playoffs. And so is life.
Man, 49ers, I think they're the best team in the division, offensively and defensively. Brock Purdy already has 2 touchdowns so far this game, both of which are to Brandon Ayuk, who looks like he's in line for a great season. You talk so much about Deebo Samuel and what he's able to do for that 49ers team. Brandon Ayuk is really one of the unsung heroes of that squad. You pair him with Christian McCaffrey, and you pair him with George Kittle, who's one of the better tight ends in the league. And then, a defense with one of the Bosa brothers who just got paid. Yo, I think this 49ers team is arguably the best team in football right now. I'm going to say 13-4.
And if you haven't seen the video of him and John Lynch dapping it up after he signs the contract, go watch it because their high five is one of the loudest. It's like me off the driver. Just pop. Just echoes in the room. Very impressive. A lot of testosterone in that high five.
Oh, yeah, man.
I've got a project over the next couple weeks, and it's to figure out how the hell Brock Purdy dropped all the way to Mr. Irrelevant. And I know that this isn't a perfect science. You know, if I were able to predict what players were going to be in the NFL, I'd be a GM myself. But, dude, the last overall pick in the draft, and he's now already thrown two touchdowns, leading the offense like he's been in the league 5 years. What the hell did we all miss?
Go Cyclones, baby.
What did we all miss?
Yeah, that is, it really is. And that's why I'm just like, dude, I can't, like, everyone has him projected to be this good again. So I'm like, all right, well, yeah, 12 and 5, I guess.
No,
like,
I'd say at least 13 wins.
Yeah. And Rashad, did you say 13 as well?
I said 13 as well.
Okay, there it is. I'll put this all together and figure out who's making the playoffs according to our standings. And then maybe as we get to like next week, we can try and give our Super Bowl winners and give some official final placements here. So let's wrap up Football Sunday, though. We're up against it. Do that next here, Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday, got to turn it around and wrap up here real quick. Yeah, crazy that we get two of the most important musical acts leaving us within the same week.
I know.
Jimmy Buffett and the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Steve Hartwell, this song, Can't Get Enough of You, Baby,
the fact that you know his record. Name is Steve Hartwell.
Well, he was.
He's been in the news.
This
you
is
know,
one of
all
their
weeks.
To
he
be fair,
away.
Smash Mouth is from that time period of like, man, late '90s stuff like that. Yeah. Like, bro, they had cuts. This song, "Walking on the Sun," obviously
that...
All Star, which is like for every All Star game for like 3 years in a row, All Star was one of those songs that was just played all the time. So
it was those three songs plus the two covers.
Can't Get Enough of You, Baby. Like you said, there's some songs that just live in 90s movies infamy.
Yeah. Do you think that anybody made a playlist of Jimmy Buffett and Smash Mouth music this week on Spotify?
There's definitely some Jimmy Buffett.
Well, those two on the same playlist. I would love to meet that guy. Just like, dude, two of my favorite artists, Jimmy Buffett, Smash Mouth.
Just back and forth.
Like, what? Like, I, you know, Jimmy Buffett, you're cool with that. I understand Parrotheads, but okay.
Smash Mouth was okay.
Hey, I remember
they had a sound.
They were in the movie Rat Race at the end
yes,
of the movie.
They were.
They all come together at the end of the quote unquote race, and it's like a fundraiser that Smash Mouth is like headlining. So there you go. Smash Mouth ran the early 2000s, okay?
They did. They were in Shrek, man.
They were like Jay Mariotti on ESPN, okay?
Right. J.A. Adonde, you know?
Woody Page. You guys are going back, man.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hopefully Jay Mariotti is doing much better than he was 15 years ago.
Probably not.
Seriously.
I hope everybody out there has a better Sunday than what the Steelers are going through right now, because that's rough. And just enjoy it. This is one of the best times of the year.
I'm with it, man. I'm going to go home, watch some football before I have a beautiful young lady's college send-off to go to.
Yes, that time of year as well. All right. Yeah. Jordan, thank you as always.
Thanks, gents.
Rashad,
love y'all.
Thank you as well. Indeed. And everybody that hung out with us on this Football Sunday, the first one of the NFL season. Thank you, and we will catch you all next Sunday. Thanks.
Football Sunday with Rashad and Joe, brought to you by Grillworks Supply Company on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Football Sunday, got to turn it around and wrap up here real quick. Yeah, crazy that we get two of the most important musical acts leaving us within the same week.
I know.
Jimmy Buffett and the lead singer of Smash Mouth.
Steve Hartwell, this song, Can't Get Enough of You, Baby.
The fact that you know his name is Steve Hartwell.
Well, he was. Let's
granted, he's been in the news, you know, all week since he passed away.
To be fair, Smash Mouth is from that time period of like, man, late 90s, stuff like that. Yeah. Like, bro, they had cuts. This song, Walking on the Sun, obviously All-Star, which is like for every All-Star game for like 3 years in a row, All-Star was one of those songs that was just played all the time. So
it was those three songs plus the two covers.
Can't get enough of you, baby. Like you said, there's some songs that just live in 90s movies infamy.
Yeah. Do you think that anybody made a playlist of Jimmy Buffett and Smash Mouth music this week on Spotify?
There's definitely some Jimmy Buffett
together.
Well, those two on the same playlist. I would love to meet that guy. Just like, dude, two of my favorite artists, Jimmy Buffett, Smash Mouth.
Just back and forth.
Like, what? Like, I, you know, Jimmy Buffett, you're cool with that. I understand Parrotheads, but okay.
Smash Mouth was okay.
Hey, I remember they
had a sound.
They were in the movie Rat Race at the end of the movie.
Yes, they were.
They all come together at the end of the quote unquote race, and it's like a fundraiser that Smash Mouth is like headlining. So there you go. Smash Mouth ran the early 2000s, okay?
They did. They really are. They were in Shrek, man.
They were like Jay Mariotti on ESPN, okay?
Right? J.A. Adonde, you know?
Woody Page. You guys are going back, man.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hopefully Jay Mariotti is doing much better than he was 15 years ago.
Probably.
Seriously.
I hope everybody out there has a better Sunday than what the Steelers are going through right now, because that's rough. And just enjoy it. This is one of the best times of the year.
I'm with it, man. I'm going to go home, watch some football before I have a beautiful young lady's college send-off to go to.
Yes, that time of year as well. All right. Yeah. Jordan, thank you as always.
Thanks, gents.
Rashad,
love y'all.
Thank you as well. Indeed. And everybody that hung out with us on this Football Sunday, the first one of the NFL season. Thank you, and we will catch you all next Sunday. Thanks.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.